Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through. We continue with a relevant study of the book of Revelation in a fireside chat with Dr. Gregory Denation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission. As he responds to your questions on the book of Revelation, here's Dr. Denation in part 3 of Understanding the Times.
Again, I say, I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. I can't understand why three ones are still one. They tell me, well, it's the nature of the formula. Okay, if that is true, my head can't grasp it. I don't know why I can't explain it to you, but they tell me I learned it at school. How am I now going to be able to decipher the intricacy of the triune Godhead if on a simple level, 1 times 1 times 1 is 1, surely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can also be 1 because He's exceedingly beyond all mathematical equations. So, there it is. But even that analogy falls short because we say it's a compound relationship, but it's far more than just a multiplication product compound relationship. It's far more intricate than that, and it's difficult for us to grasp and to fathom that. We use analogies like I have a cup of tea. So, there are 3 things in that cup of tea. There's sugar there, and sugar is not the tea leaves. So it's definitely a different thing altogether. And then there's also milk in the tea. So I've got the tea itself from the tea leaves, I've got the milk, and I've got the sugar. But it's 1 cup of tea. And the sugar is in there, but you can't extract it from there. The tea is in there, you can't extract the tea from the sugar and the milk, and the milk is in there, but you can't extract the milk now. It's integrated, and yet it's unique substances. And it's an analogy, but even that falls short. You still can't actually properly fathom the triune God. Some will say, yes, but now, how can God have a son? There must have been a wife. Does God have a wife? Is Mother Mary His wife? And they believed this. Then you have to explain, this has nothing to do with begetting or begotten in the sense of procreation. This is title. It's title and function. And that's how God revealed Himself. And we see in a glass darkly. We will maybe not even when we do come face to face, as creatures, have the capacity to grasp the full presence of God. So when Isaiah sees Him on the throne, it's the way in which He revealed Himself, the highest form that we are capable of perceiving. But I think His presence will be far beyond and above everything we could ever imagine or conceive to be. I don't know if that answers it.
It's funny how we as humans forget that our reality is molded after God, and God is not molded after our reality.
Exactly.
Pastor Greg, is Revelations written so symbolically because it was actually dangerous for the faith community to just speak plainly about what they were trying to say in the book?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, they had to be very clandestine and discreet when they conveyed messages. Now, the church was in need. The church was suffering. Believers were persecuted. They were smeared with pitch and set alight and made to run down the streets like burning torches. They were put into vats of oil and cooked. And they were fed to lions. They were speared. They were crucified upside down, beheaded. You know, it was not easy. And in a time of terrible stress and pain and suffering, it's just human that you begin to doubt. It's just human that you begin to wonder, whether your God is the true God, especially, as I said earlier, in the light of the fact that when you see the prosperity of the heathen, you can't imagine that God would have just abandoned you and would just have forsaken you and just given you over. So that church needed to be comforted, but more than that, they also needed to have some understanding as to what is actually going on. Because there's no suffering that is greater than senseless suffering. If I don't know why I'm suffering, that is tormenting. That is hell on earth. So the Lord understood this. He knew how we are constructed and how we are put together and what our needs are. So the book of Revelation is a drama to comfort the church in persecution and hardships and difficulties. The book of Revelation is a drama to explain to them exactly what's going on and to reveal how it's all going to come together in the end and the church will be triumphant. So that's why this book is written in a coded form, because this message had to go out to all the churches spread out over Asia Minor and everywhere, even Jerusalem where it was found. If a messenger by horseback was intercepted by a Roman platoon or a party that was, you know, keeping the law and order, and they found these documents, and these documents openly said, oh, the Caesar is the Antichrist and he's persecuting the church, he's responsible for our suffering, that's subversive and it's incriminating, and it would have unleashed a far greater hellish persecution on the church. But if the centurion picked up a scroll and he read here about the dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and a beast that's like a lamb coming from the earth and the 7 thunders that spoke, I mean, they've never seen a thunder speaking before, so it's like weird. It would look like a crazy document, and he would just laugh at them and say, you know, this is ridiculous, throw it back at them and disregard it because this is madness. And they would go away safe because the message was retained.
The ravings of a lunatic.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've just had a whole new way of looking at Revelation now, because you've just reminded me of how important context is.
Yes, absolutely.
If we don't understand the times that the people were living in when Revelation was written, we will never understand the way it was written.
Exactly.
Because, yeah.
And you know, what is so unique about this book is that in Genesis, you have the beginning, very first words, in the beginning, God. Now, John, being steeped in Hebrew and Jewish theology, Old Testament as such, had fully grasped the construction of the book of Genesis. It's also a book that's compiled. It's based on 10 stories, and each story is introduced by the same Hebrew phrase that says, this is the account of. And that's repeated every time. This is the account of Abraham, this is the account of Jacob, this is the account of, and so it mentions those. It appears 10 times. So the book is built up around 10 stories. The very first line of the Hebrew text, Bereshit bara Elohim ve'et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz, 7 words that's used in the Hebrew. God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. 6 days, the 7th day he rested. And that already is something that begins to stand out for John, because he says, okay, the number 7, it's 6. On the 6th day man was created, 7th day he rested. Okay, but you have 12 tribes in the Old Testament. So you have the number 10. The book is constructed in 10 stories. You have the number 12 because the 12 tribes of Israel. You have the number 7. We can show the number 3 also prominently surfaces there. So he said, okay, what's the last book in the Bible going to be like? It's going to be built around 7 scenes. Because it was in 6 days that God created the heavens and the earth, and on the 7th day he rested. So that means God will be working for 6 days in history, church history, And then comes the consummation, the climactic end of it all, on the seventh day when the new heavens and the new Jerusalem are ushered in and the new reign of God's peace where he's in control. The seventh day, indeed the Sabbath day, when God rests. So he took Genesis as the cue card and then built Revelation based on what he perceived God was doing over there. So indeed, when Hebrews says there's still a Sabbath rest that remains for the people of God, Revelation tells us that's when Jesus comes back again and he establishes his kingdom. Now you find the number 10 appearing there. The dragon has seven heads and he has 10 horns. We saw in the number 144,000 early on, it's 10 times 10 times 10. 3 times 10 is mentioned there. And 10 plays a very prominent role throughout the book. You look at the numbers, they tell us something. So they are symbolic. So maybe I must also just mention that there are certain words that John uses only 7 times throughout the whole book. Not 5 times, not 8 times, just 7 times. Some words he uses in multiples of 7, like 14 and 28 in the Greek text. You will find that he would have a beatitude built in. Let's have a look at the first beatitude that we see in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Now the word blessed is makarioi in the Greek, and it means 3 times blessed actually. 3 times God's favor upon you. Now, there are only 7 beatitudes spread out over the whole of the book of Revelation. So we can ask ourselves, is that a coincidence? Even John's name consists of 7 letters. When you come to the 3 beasts, the dragon in the sky, the beast out of the water, the sea, and the beast that's out of the land, the names of those beasts, Drakon, Therion, Arnion, in the Greek, each has 6 letters. So there you've got 3 sixes. Oh, that says something. Now later on we read about the number, man's number, 666. But it's 3 sixes. Oh, okay, so 3 is God's number. So this looked like it's man wanting to be God. Wasn't that the initial temptation that was given in Genesis when the serpent came and tempted Eve and said, if you eat of this fruit, you shall be as God? So right from Genesis, right through, and why we are suffering this persecution, John says, is because man is acting as if he's God, because he thinks he's God. Where will the mark be received? The mark will be received on the right hand, on the forehead. So what does that mean? 666 on my right hand? It's man wanting to be God. So my right hand is my executive power. When I start behaving as if I'm a little God, I'm marked. And it's 666 on the forehead. In other words, if I start thinking I'm a little God, I'm already carrying that mark. So while people are waiting for some kind of chip to appear, they got hooked already. They are behaving like that.
Pastor Greg, I sit here just thanking you for just that little bit, because we can speak about the mark of the beast all day and all night. And I'm glad that I didn't prompt this, because whenever I'm asked about the mark of the beast, in my limited knowledge, I've just gone back to the Old Testament. I understand your right hand is about work and what you're doing, and your forehead is about thought. So whenever people bring up this debate about the mark of the beast, I don't say it as eloquently as you did, but I normally just say to them, listen guys, we are already slaves through our actions and through our thoughts.
Yes.
Who cares about the mark that we're all looking for? Yes. We have already been marked through our actions and our thoughts.
That was Dr. Gregory Denation in part 3 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the book of Revelation. To listen to Thinking It Through at any time, go to the Play Store or iTunes Store and search for GNCR 93.6. Install the app, go to the podcast section and open Thinking It Through. Send us any questions you have about the book of Revelation to the email address that will be given at the end of the program. Stay tuned for part 4 coming at you tomorrow.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.